everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, we're in the midst of the hottest temperatures ever recorded in Tucson this late in the year. Yesterday, what did we hit, 105 or something? It's unbelievable. And it's not just a day or two, but we're in for looks like triple digits into next week. So
we could be in Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix.
Where they hit 113 yesterday.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. 113 in Phoenix in late September. But it's the new norm, I guess. It's the Buckmaster Show. And by the way, Tom, as that hurricane just picks up strength, I think just a few moments ago was pushed up to a Category 3.
It's at least a 3.
And
I heard some reports that it could reach Category 4 stage,
yeah,
when it hits the coast of
the
Florida.
Big Bend area of Florida. And just,
I've always known that as the panhandle of Florida.
Yeah,
when did this Big Bend term come up?
Big Bend is kind of what
I associate
think about
that with Texas.
Yeah. But anyway, I looked it up. Big Bend, Florida, and it's very sparsely populated, so that might be the only silver lining, but nobody wants to be in the line of fire when you've got a Cat 4 coming down at you. It's Buckmaster, Thursday, September 26, 2024. We'll begin our 15th year with our radio project in January. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. 1030 KVOI, the station that you are listening to, Tucson's Voice, worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. The live line for our telephone interview is 790-2040, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's welcome now to the program, with me in studio, Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, representing Ward Number 2. How are you, Councilman? What a busy agenda. What was that, a five-hour meeting yesterday?
No, yesterday was actually pretty light.
Light?
Last week, 2 weeks ago, we had a monster. We had a noon to 5:30 study session, 11:30 to 5:30 study session, and then we ended up starting late, and then we went to like 9. So you have a couple meetings like that a year. You have a couple meetings that start at 2 and go to 5 that end on time. Yesterday, the meeting that we had yesterday, despite being a little bit less
lengthy,
lower number of items on the agenda, a lot of really pertinent items.
News item. Maybe that's why I was just assuming, because there was so many new news items and I want to cover those. I was just assuming it was a long meeting. Before we talk about the meeting, dozens of homeless people have been forced out of Santa Rita Park. What is that about?
Well, the way I understand it is that part of that work is being done. They're going to do some construction on that park. There's also been some significant input from the neighborhoods and neighborhood associations about kind of how that park has been doing over the past few years. There's also been some input from some of the MDOT staff that works directly with our unsheltered that have said that the conditions there have gotten to a point that it required significant intervention as far as from the help from the from just a health and safety and wellness issue. So all those things kind of came in. And moreover, it's a really tough situation because you've got a neighborhood that's kind of, everybody wants to help everybody out, but at the same time, the neighborhood has a park where they've got kids in it and they can't go to the park, or the parents don't really want to send them. So you're darned if you do, you're darned if you don't. One of the things that happened is we've had some discussion about who was offered services and whether or not they didn't take them. And some 80 people apparently turned down services. And that concerns me, in that why are so many people turning down services?
I don't know.
And what is
why
that?
Why are they saying, I don't want any of your services?
And is it the way we're asking? Is it the way that, is it because they're mental health and drug users?
They prefer this lifestyle. Okay.
And I can't imagine that. I can't. So I think that's a really important question to ask. I can tell you this. What I do in my office is I go out to camps in Ward 2 once a week. I take about 4 hours every week. I block it off, and I visit different camps and talk to folks that are in a bad situation. Mm-hmm. And I try to ask them about how I can help to improve that situation.
What do they tell you generally?
Well, it's a very mixed bag. Mm-hmm. Some people aren't really ready. Mm-hmm. Some people only respond to negative input. Some people are pretty responsive. I took a young man, I shouldn't say young man, a guy a couple years younger than me a few weeks ago to detox, and he actually stayed. Mm. We had one couple referred where they're actually going to a long-term voucher, and they've transitioned from a transitional shelter placement into long-term housing that we placed a few months ago. So,
but they have to make the decision that they want to do, they want help.
Well, so I think that's part of it. I think it's also super systemic. So we have the folks that are really struggling with drugs and mental health issues. Then we have folks that are kind of like in the middle that are holding it together a little bit but need a little boost. And then we have folks that are go-getters, and they're just – they had a couple bad breaks and a couple of things didn't go their way, and they're kind of stuck. So I think it's a mixed bag with all three. I think we get a really good – it's a very widespread – piece, and I think it's also systemic, where you have a court system, a law enforcement system, a social services system, and basically a free market all interacting on how all this stuff happens. So I the only thing we can do is try to meet people where they are, try to make sure they're getting help, and try to hold people accountable who are bad actors.
Let's go to the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Robert has a question for Councilman Cunningham. Go ahead.
Hi, Paul. I realize you're East Side, but I just drove by Santa Rita, and they have yellow tape up, but what is to prevent them from coming back? Nobody wants to go to that park. I don't understand why you're putting any money into it whatsoever.
So, like I said, is that I think that all parks deserve to be revitalized. I'm very, very passionate about that. That's why we've done that on the East Side and made sure to make investments into Udall, Palo Verde, Fort Lowell, Terra del Sol. We try to make investments in all those parks. Again, if a park is in good condition and being used by folks, it usually tends to drive out some of the bad actors that take advantage of a good situation when utilizing those parks. I think that's I can't directly speak for Councilmember Fimbres, but I'd like to believe that that's kind of his vision with this. He's trying to be responsive to his constituents, and I have to respect that. At the same time, it is such a convoluted and wide systemic issue that's affecting communities around the country that it really – like I said, you're darned if you do, you're darned if you don't. But what I don't want to do is be accused of not doing anything.
Yesterday, the council decided not to move forward yet with the ordinance that would in effect ban encampments in the washes. Is that ordinance still in the works, Paul?
I'm sure it is. The
U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, the
backing
the Grants Pass case,
which is just outside Medford, Oregon. I mean, if you want to go that direction, legally you could.
Right. So there's a few things here. One is that there's a number of different discussions surrounding this. One is people are working. People are worried that if we displace people out of the washes, they'll have nowhere to go, mm-hmm. and the issue may become more visible, and there's discussion on whether that's a good thing or bad thing. Then we have the safety issue, where we have folks that have drowned a couple times because they were camping in the wash during monsoon. We already have an ordinance that addresses that. We actually have a countywide regulation that also addresses that. So are we adding to it? the specifics on whether or not this ordinance had included the banks of the Wash or actually just in the Wash were also part of the discussion. And I think there was some back and forth on whether or not how specific that language would be. So I think that was another reason. I think another piece that also caused it to be pulled was that I don't think people really understood whether or not this would actually address some of the issues we're having. And so it went back to, okay, so what should we, you know, what should we come out with? And that is, I think that's where we ended up with. I was struggling with some of the reasoning for the ordinance, to be honest with you. I mean, I just wasn't sure. And because of that, it made it hard. I mean, as for the safety issues, of course, it is horrible that people are drowning in washes during flooding. But remember that there's all kinds of other risk factors that go along when you're unsheltered that have been deadly for our homeless population. We can't magically just, you know, say, okay, homeless people are safe by fining them for sleeping in a wash. I mean, they're not even going to pay it. They have no means to pay it. And, and running around and threatening everybody with jail, I don't know. Remember, that costs a lot too. And as a matter of fact, we don't even have the capacity for the jail. I think some of the people who are saying this one was a little more punitive are probably have a good point. We've tried in the city to have a very robust systemic response to this, but it doesn't do everything before. Again, this Grants Pass decision, the Eighth Circuit reversed it and then unreversed it. And now here we are trying to decide whether or not we should have community solutions or punitive solutions. And it's frustrating for everybody. But for me, I'm still going to try to have faith in people and try to have faith in some of our unsheltered folks.
All right, let's take a pause right here. Paul Cunningham sticks around. He's with me in studio. The studio, the green thing, is Zocalo Village Studio. And Tom, you had said that Helene was still a category. No, you said it was a Cat 4.
Well, I had heard somewhere that they were thinking it could move to a Cat 4 status, but it looks like it's just going to stay at 3. But they're saying that along that panhandle, they're calling it the Big Bend region of the Florida coast, they're saying as much as 20-foot storm surge,
yes,
which is being described as unsurvivable.
Yeah. I mean, you may be proven right. It could hit at a Cat 4, but let's hope it stays at 3. But it's in that range, 3, very close to a 4. Take a break right here, Buckmaster, on a Thursday. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
On average, the Regional Transportation Authority annually contributes over $100 million to regional transportation improvements to supplement limited federal and state funds. This critical funding source provides funding for nearly two-thirds of our region's needed transportation improvements through its 2006 voter-approved half-cent sales tax. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and the Green Thing is Zocalo Village Studio. And we do our telephone interviews, our live line, 790-2040, 520 area code, of course, presented by Rincon Ventures. Real estate and property management, Paul Cunningham is here, a Democrat representing the second ward in on the city council. And before we move on from the homeless people issue, homeless people in parks, what's the real reason homeless people don't want to go to the shelters like Salvation Army or Gospel Rescue Mission?
Well, there's a lot of different theories. One of the things is that they feel some of those environments are too restrictive is one of the things, or that they're forced to go to Bible study and forced to do faith-based things. And I think there's validity to those things. But but we have a bunch of shelters that don't require those things. Mm-hmm. The main reason probably is that most of our shelters, I'd say 95, 99% of our shelters don't allow drugs on the premises. I think that's one of the major barriers to shelter placement. I mean, that's my assumption. And, mm-hmm. and again, I'd like to have some empirical evidence to back that up, but I don't have. I mean, that's hard to get. Mm-hmm. But come on, I mean, it's not a very unreasonable thing to assume.
As the city tries to quell the violence around the hookah lounges, the council took, I guess, a step yesterday toward requiring these lounges to limit their hours of operation to perhaps, rather than being open all night, to maybe 2 a.m, maybe midnight?
Yeah, I mean, this is an issue that's not just, it's around the country. I mean, if you Google hookah lounge shooting Arizona, you get a lot of hits right now about the incident.
You don't just get the one in Tucson.
Well, you do right now, yeah, because it's the newest.
But what else would you get?
I mean, you can, if you keep scrolling into page 2 and page 3, yeah, you're going to find them in Mesa. You're going to find a shooting in, here's one from September of 22, March of 22, September of 23, April of 2020, and these are all hookah lounge shootings that happened over, you know, it's a thing that's been going on, and it's gotten to the point where we really need to take action, because it seems that having a bunch of young people late at night under the influence and into the wee hours of the morning just is not a good mix right now. And we seem to be having quite a few calls for service there. So we're going to go to some regulatory take some regulatory action, and we're going to do it within the parameters of what the state law says. And we're going to look to our peer cities up north in Maricopa County, who have already put some type of ordinance in place.
You can get into a lounge right now at 18 years old.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
And you're looking at pushing that up to 21 for one thing.
That's
right?
That's one of the pieces, because we do have T21 in Arizona.
What do they do in these lounges?
I, you know, it's I'm 50 years old, man, and I like to think that I'm hip and with the times, but I don't even know if I've ever been in a hookah lounge. So I've been in a couple.
It's mainly what, smoke and then party?
It's probably not much difference than a bar. But again, when you have a bar that's open till 2, 3, 4 in the morning, you can usually have things that happen badly.
So we had homelessness, that issue. We had the hookah lounges. What else yesterday?
We had the RTA yesterday.
And what's the latest?
Well, I mean, I think there's some.
I mean, we had General Maxwell was here Tuesday, and he explained the whole compromise.
The RTA next idea and plan is sound. I think one of the things that's happening right now is, I can't speak for all my colleagues per se, but I can say my observation is a few of them are skeptical that some of the ones that are still supposed to be funded for this RTA iteration are not funded. And I think there is some skepticism on whether they're going to get done. And if they don't get done and they are not fully funded, it's going to be tough. So I think that's, again, every single month, the concerns shift. As I said on this show a month ago, you've got to hand it to General Maxwell, Carolyn Campbell, the rest of the team
pulling
on
this
what
compromise
they put this thing together. It is a good thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, so that issue solved, but now we have this other issue of I want to say there's 4 or 5 projects in the Southeast. There are 12 projects left in the city of Tucson, and only 4 of them are 100% for sure fully funded. One of them, the Grant Road piece, we haven't even started to talk about land acquisition. And we should be already past that point. So there's a couple things that I'm worried about there. But ultimately, the discussion was pretty vanilla in, you know, what we're looking forward to RTA next and how it can help the city.
You don't need the council's blessing on this. You do. Presumably, the mayor has to sign off because she's one of the 9 members on the board.
It's still going to the voters. Still going to the voters.
Yeah.
The other piece we had yesterday was the Santa Cruz Wildlife Refuge. And that's a really neat thing. And I want to hand it to Kevin Dahl and give a shout out to Ward 1 Lane Santa Cruz. They brought this forward, and it is an opportunity for the city of Tucson to work with private landowners to have the federal government buy land along the Santa Cruz River and turn it into a wildlife and riparian and ecological refuge. Hmm. And I think that's a neat thing. I think that's very in tune with some of Tucson's values. I actually think that it brings value to our region by having that. Believe it or not, with some of the efforts we've made, there's some 40 miles of the Santa Cruz River that for a long time was dry. And in the last 15 to 20 years, there's 40 miles of basically free-flowing river that flows all year. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we didn't have. So I'm proud of the work we've done on that, and this is an opportunity to preserve that. And it's a really good job by Kevin and for Council Members Dahl and Santa Cruz to bring something to the council like this and have the trust and bring the right people together, including the University of Arizona, at least proposing this and allowing us to get a chance to get on that refuge list.
What's it called again?
It's an urban wildlife refuge.
Urban wildlife refuge. Okay. Then I heard something about the PFABs, the forever chemicals. Apparently, the feds have worked with Tucson Water and the airport.
The airport.
Right? What's that about, quickly?
I can't go into too much detail because some of that's been executive session and we're in a lawsuit.
Okay.
But the bottom line is that throughout the country, using a certain firefighting foam in the 70s and 80s contaminated water wells. And there's a class action suit between all the cities and airports around the country to recoup some of that money through the Dow Chemical Company, some of the chemical companies that produced it. And the United States Air Force, and that money will come in. A lot of the mitigation that has been done, the city's already spent the money to do it, but we will recoup some costs and we will get a little bit of a windfall that can help us with our water infrastructure in the future. So it's a really good job by both the city manager and Tucson Water in being kind of the the heads up people and the front runners on these type of things. So it's a good program, and I'm happy for it. And so that was also discussed yesterday.
And Marana is now suing over the whole PFABs thing.
Yeah, I think they're joining in the same lawsuit that we're in. Pretty sure. I can't speak for sure on that.
Coming up in a few minutes after the break, Troy Hutchison of Go AZ Cats is going to be with us. Go AZ
Cats. Oh, Troy's coming in? That's awesome.
Yeah, he's going to be in for a half hour because, quite honestly, the natives are very restless about Coach Brennan. What's your take?
Well, the natives are allowed to be restless because we came off a 10-3, a 10-win season, winning. We've got a bunch of our kids came back. The energy was so high.
What happened?
And we just had a couple bad performances, but the first two wins were pretty underwhelming. The first win was underwhelming defensively. The second one was underwhelming offensively. And then we went out to Kansas State and couldn't get it done. So I think everybody's got a right to go, hey, what's going on? But for me, I'm a fan. I'm not at practice every day. I'm not talking to these kids every day. I'm a fan. So I need to be a fan. And the fan's going to say, hey, best is yet to come. Let's have faith in our kids. Let's turn it around. And at the end of the season, if the wheels have come off, we'll reassess. But for now, I think we've got to let this play out. We got to have some faith in our kids and the team that we brought in and the staff we brought in. I will say that Dwayne Akeena and Dino Babers are two coaches that coached under Dick Tomey and are bought into Tucson, and that for me gives them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt that they love Tucson that much. So for me, I have to stand by our coaches for now and see how this season goes.
All right, Paul, thanks a lot. Take a break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zilkalo Village Studios, Green Things 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Everything you need for the garden, 13-acre site looking really good. After the summer rains, check it out. They're open daily in their 52nd year of business. Also, they've got Zilkalo Village, all that great pottery and imported merchandise from Mexico and Europe. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZilkaloVillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. While we're waiting for Troy Hutchison, who's just running just a couple of minutes late, and we could have had him on the phone, but not going to rush him over here because luckily Councilman Paul Cunningham has agreed to stick around for a few minutes. And we were talking during the break, Paul, there's quite a few things city-wise going on with sports. How's the Arizona Bowl shaping up with Kim Adair, who I think's just all over the place?
Isn't she dynamite?
I think she's great. I'm going to bring her on in early December, but maybe you can give us an update now.
Well, a big shout-out to Ollie and to Kim and to Dell, who just do such a tremendous job putting that thing together. And it's nice that the U of A has cooperated with them. And then it's just absolutely incredible that Snoop Dogg and Death Row Records, I mean, again,
if you would have told me
Snoop Dogg in 1993 that this guy was going to become an icon and a voice of my generation, I would have laughed. But, you know, the one thing is that as he's branded himself, he's been really consistent about – you may not exactly agree with all the stuff he says or does, but at least you know he's true to himself and he is not out to harm anyone. And that's mm-hmm. what makes him a very authentic person. It makes him a very authentic celebrity. I mean, it made him – that's NBC chose him to be the USA's representative at different sporting events this year.
He was all over the place in the coverage of the Olympics.
But let's think about some of the other things he's done in funding youth football in inner city LA, in setting up the car clubs. So
he's a real sports fan.
He is, but he also set up car clubs so that different rival gangs could find things in common. He also made sure that the beefs between like guys who lived in Long Beach and guys who lived in Compton were meeting. I mean, he's done a lot of cool things about just bringing people together, and it's a great thing to be able to say that Tucson hosts him, and he feels Tucson's a part of what he does, and so mm-hmm. it's a good brand for Tucson. We're doing some of these things in Tucson that other cities had, like Austin has the South by Southwest, and Indio, California has the Coachella and all mm-hmm. that stuff. Well, we have this thing called Dusk now that we're kind of marrying into that, and Paige Rep puts that together.
Excuse me,
every year.
What's it called?
Dusk, and it's a music festival that features musicians from the state of Arizona, locally, and a few national names. And mm-hmm. Paige Rep, a local architect and designer, puts that together every year. He's done a great job, and it's grown a following every single year. Mm-hmm. We've got the Mexican Baseball Fiesta coming, which is going to be pretty exciting. I think kind of reading tea leaves, there may be an opportunity at some point where we get a Mexican Pacific League team. I think that would be pretty cool. I think it would be a nice niche. It would make us one of the few international leagues.
Yeah.
So that, I don't know if that's ever coming, but I hope so there's some opportunities.
So there would be perhaps a Tucson team playing with Culiacan, Orange Men, or wherever. I've heard of them.
Yeah, exactly. Hermosillo, yeah.
So that would be kind of cool.
It would also activate that space at Keno. I know mm-hmm. that my former colleague Steve Kozachik is doing an amazing job kind of riding that ship. And
we haven't heard much about what he's been up to there.
He's just working on filling out the vision for that athletic park. And as a guy who goes to youth athletic events at different facilities around the state and sometimes around the country, I can say that Tucson's a little bit behind. And so the opportunity to catch things up with filling up some work out at Keno, and then the city kind of doing their part with UDAL and some of the things we're going to do on the east side, I think will definitely give us a good opportunity to host some more tournaments, depending on different sports. And so I like some of the things that are going on with Tucson. We also had a really successful Comic-Con this year. We have never had
the comic convention.
A comic convention. Yeah, mm-hmm. We have that convention, and that was something we didn't have before. And Tucson's like a big mecca for folks that are into different types of anime and different types of science fiction and stuff like that. I think it's a great time. I've always had the dream of like building a small boat that looks like the Millennium Falcon. So, I mean, I'm right there with them, man. So I think there's some great things happening for Tucson. And I know that it's really hard right now to be happy about things because we have some divisiveness and we have the fentanyl crisis and there's always some drama going on. But it's important to sometimes to stop real quick and take a look around and enjoy the things we've got. We've got the Red-Blue game coming up next week. I know that the athletic department staff and the new folks in the basketball office have done an incredible job trying to give us a showcase that's really special. And I hope that it's going to help the Tucson brand. One of the things they're doing with the Red Blue game is we're doing an extra showcase in Glendale, Arizona.
Really?
We're taking our show on the road and saying, hey, look, not only are we the home of the Tucson market, we're the Phoenix market too, which is bold, which is really, really cool that they're doing that. And again, those are the type of things I love to see, that we get to highlight Tucson and we get to highlight what Tucson's all about. So,
will there be hockey, this professional hockey?
I think we've got one more season at least. Uh-huh. And then I think it'll be a question of – it'll be really a question of money. It'll end up becoming a question of money. And at the end of the day, you know, things end badly or else they wouldn't end, right? Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, when things do end like that, it's usually a part of money. The other thing is that, again, something that started in my office almost 12 years ago now – we're going to have the Desert Friendlies back, and we'll have soccer back and FC Tucson. FC Tucson's expanded. That sport continues to grow. I think the only sport that's growing at a commercial rate right now better is probably women's basketball. Caitlin Clark's team got eliminated last night, but I think she dropped like 25 points. So
wow.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, women's sports really growing.
It's amazing, man. It's so excellent, and for a basketball purist like me, sometimes it's even more pleasing to watch for different reasons. But I think there's just so many things about that sport, especially the program that Coach Barnes has built here in Tucson, that makes it really tailor made for
a lot of
Tucson.
These families are traveling now. Youth sports have become huge.
Yes, I mean I've been caught up in that the last couple of years. I think to some degree, youth sports is a little over-monetized right now. We still need to go back to the $90 and $80 league where you can get your kid into playing 3-4 times a week for not a lot. But still, youth sports is definitely a burgeoning industry here in the United States.
Okay, we've got to let you go because you've got to go to to college, to school, right?
Yeah, I'm teaching one period a day, as I mentioned, and it's just a good little fit, and just kind of helping out. And it's definitely not anything I'm doing heavy. So,
all right, well, good. And Troy Hutchison just showed up, so I'll bring Troy in, and Troy is actually in the house. Do you want to bring Troy in for just a minute or two to talk while he's with you here?
That'd be great.
Troy, why don't you come on in, grab this other microphone, because Paul Cunningham was talking about, you know, the natives are pretty darn restless, Troy, about everything going on with Coach Brennan right now. And Paul gave us his opinion, and we got a minute or two before the break, Troy, so let's get you on this particular microphone. How you doing? Good to see you.
Yes.
Good. We're doing well. What do you think? The natives are restless.
Yeah, you know, anytime you lose a game 31-7 when it was supposed to be close, hell, I picked Arizona to win the game. I thought they were going to go in there and have a good performance, you're going to be restless, especially after last season going 10-3. You have a lot of the same talent offensively and defensively, but it's still a learning curve, not only for the coaching staff, but for the players as well. I mean, they're learning a whole new system and they're learning about each other. And then you have injuries as well. So I think the bye week came out of the perfect time for Arizona, but also came in at an unopportune time, because if you have another game, let's say you have Baylor next week and Arizona beats Baylor at home and nobody's talking about Kansas State, now you have this kind of festering manifest of, you know, you're angry, you lost 31-7, and then Kansas State gets blown out by by BYU. And it's like, okay, why couldn't Arizona do that? What went wrong here? Is Kansas State really that good? Maybe not. But how bad is Arizona? And I think it's just a situation where you have time to sit and think and watch an opponent get blown out, and then it kind of manifests itself.
I totally agree. I mean, I think there's other pieces too. Mm-hmm. I think as a casual fan, you're going to sit there and question play calling and schemes, but you're going to forget that we're missing Michael Wiley, dude. We're missing our number one pass rusher from last year, Upshaw. We're missing Prysock, who was a lockdown corner on the other side, so you don't have two lockdown 6'4 mm-hmm. corners like you did last year when you had DiCario and Prysock working each side. I mean, there's so many different dynamics, and not only that, you're also missing Jacob Cowing, who's basically the Devin Booker of our team last year because he was the unsung hero of everything.
Yeah.
And when you lose that type of talent base, you're not just going to be able to flip the switch and continue that success.
I think the biggest thing that missing from last season, and again, I think overall Arizona can cure a lot of it, is you look at the defensive line, they lost 7 to 8 guys on that defensive line. Mm. And last year, that's where Arizona really made its, you know, money, where it buttered its bread. When you can rotate 7, 9, 10 guys on a defense and keep guys fresh, and every single game down the stretch of last season, offensively and defensively, Arizona dominated on the offensive line and the defensive line. So you lose a lot of defensive linemen. That's going to be hard to replace. You lose Jordan Morgan, NFL draft, that happens. You've had injuries on the offensive line. Raymond Polito's out for God knows what reason. So there's a little bit miscohesion on the offensive line and defensive line. I don't want to say there's not the talent there, but you're still trying to figure that out. Who are the guys that can be in that rotation? When you don't have that number of rotation like you did last year, or have that solidness, it creates issues for the secondary. It creates issues for the linebackers.
Well, and also with that, in the line of total unlucky, the guy who got the most reps going into the season was Ja'Cory, and then he's got to sit out too. So you've got to, you're not limiting your play calling, but it's definitely your execution is going to be a little more off because you've got a guy who didn't get as many reps.
And after talking to Coach Brendan Tay, he will probably be out this weekend. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, NCAA, you know, so Brendan's not going to comment too much on that. I actually think they're deeper when Merritt is here on the team and playing than they were last season at running back. I like Conley a lot. I love Rossano a lot. Rayshon Luke, I think they're a little bit deeper of a unit. But, you know, if you're not fully there, it does limit your play calling. But then again, you get into these phases where Arizona, that first drive, really balanced. 7 runs, 7 passes. They go and score a touchdown. You get behind. Then all of a sudden, at the end of the game, Noah Fifita has 42 passes. And you only ran the ball for 56 yards. You get in panic mode when you're behind. And I think there needs to be that balance. Even when you're behind, you can still run the football, and there's got to be a commitment to the run.
All right, guys, got to take a break here. Paul Cunningham, thanks, Paul, for coming in, talking a couple of important news pieces. And then we had a little sports talk. And I've got Troy Hutchison here from GoAZCats.com. Another segment with Troy coming up right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. 2006, Pima County voters approved the Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year Regional Transportation Plan, half-cent sales tax. They're both effective through June 30th, 2026. The region to receive continued funding for another 20 years, RTA is developing a new plan and tax extension for voter consideration. Public input will be key. Receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development. Visit rtanext.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
Welcome back. Troy Hutchison with me in studio from GoAZCats.com. Refresh our listeners' memory about GoAZCats.com.
Yeah, GoAZCats.com is part of Rivals, which is a part of the Yahoo Sports family as well. We cover everything from Arizona football, basketball, women's basketball, baseball and softball, a lot of recruiting coverage for football and men's basketball as well. So all the recruiting information and all the inside information could be found at GoAZCats.com.
This portion of the program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. I'll take their temperatures, Troy, any day over ours right now because it's that elevation over in Silver City. 85 degrees, very nice. And overnight lows have been, last week they had them like in the 40s. So it's worth the trip, three-hour drive east of Tucson. Great hiking over there. Check it out, southwestnewmexico.org. Speaking of road trips, the Wildcat football team, 2-1, blown out at Kansas State, have to go on the road. They'll fly up to Salt Lake City, a very tough place to play. And Utah, the running Utes, are probably one of the hottest football teams in the country.
Yeah, you know, it's not an easy task. Even back in the Pac-12, this was one of the most difficult road trips there is.
Yeah.
The fan base is phenomenal. It's high altitude, very cold usually when you go. Luckily for Arizona, you're going when it's going to be around
warm,
68 to 70.
Yeah.
But it's a difficult place to play, and Utah is going as they usually do. Kyle Whittingham is a very good coach, and he has them rolling, and it's always a consistent, cohesive effort by Utah every time you play them.
What's your prediction on that game?
You know, I think it really depends on the health of Cam Rising.
Fine quarterback who's been injured.
He's been banged up, missed Oklahoma State game, missed all of last year. If he's healthy, I think Utah wins this game running away something like 42 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's not, which I have a feeling that it's going to be Ethan Wilson back there for Utah, I think Utah wins it, but I think it's a lot closer and Arizona's able to do some things defensively to make it close. But I got Utah winning 28-20. 2024.
Michael Lev, the columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, says a lot of Peep fans want to bail on Coach Brennan already.
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of the temperature of any fan base, really, especially when you're coming off of a 10-3 season and expectations were so high. But it is what it is. When you go 2-1, it's probably where you should have been. It's just the way that it happened, mm-hmm. being 31-7 in that blowout fashion. And then you had that bye week to let it fester mm-hmm. and watch Kansas State get blown out on the road at BYU. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait a minute. BYU was picked to finish last and they're 3-0 and look what yeah. they did to Kansas State. I think the bye week came at a good time for Arizona. They can get healthy. Arizona hasn't been healthy for a while. So especially on the offensive line. And when you don't have cohesion on the offensive line, you have those offensive issues that you've seen. But I think it's a good chance for Arizona to get healthy and get right. But, you know, fan bases are what they are. And
people,
a lot of fans overreact
so impatient
quickly
nowadays. And my goodness, the coach is in his first season. He's only had 3 games. How about basketball? I heard the schedule came out today.
Yeah, Big 12 schedule came out today, and Arizona fans can say hello to Monday and Tuesday night games
now in
the Big 12. They don't do the Thursday, Saturdays like the Pac-12 used to do. So you're going to have games on Monday night. Big Mondays starting at 7 o'clock here at Tucson, or Tuesday night starting at God knows what time, mm-hmm. and then usually Saturday, Sunday, but mostly mostly Saturdays. So it's a different way to do things. You're going to have a home game in 1 week and a road game in the same week, but you could still have back-to-back road games depending on if the road game is a Saturday and the road game is a Tuesday. The important thing about that schedule is you have Houston at home. That's going to be a great matchup for Arizona at home. And then you are on the road at Kansas, the last game of the season, which could decide the Big 12 at Fog Allen Fieldhouse. And the team will probably stay out there because the Big 12 tournament's in Kansas City, Missouri. So
Kansas will get a home court advantage for the tournament.
That, you know, and that was part of the conference negotiations. They were thinking about staying at 18 games. The conference expanded to 20. The holdup was Kansas did not want to have to travel to Tucson. So Kansas, being the dog in the conference, gets Arizona at home the last game of the season, and they don't have to leave that region during that time.
Troy Hutchison with us from GoAZCats.com. So going back to football, some of the prognosticators who like to look at what the lineups are going to be put Arizona in the Las Vegas Bowl, I believe, which would be between Christmas and New Year's. And they look at Arizona as kind of a midway team, maybe average season, 6-6 or whatever it would be, something like that.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to imagine anything else besides that at this point, because, you know, it's one thing to have defensive issues. I think defense with Dwayne Aquina and new faces on the defense, and there's a lot of returners, but a little bit of a new scheme and a new defensive line, you can fix that over the course of time. And in the Big 12 conference, if you're able to score points, get me 2 stops and we're going to win a lot of football games. That's mm-hmm. usually the mindset. If you could get me 2 stops, we're going to win a lot of games. But the issue is the offense isn't working. And I think that's the scarier thing for Arizona right now, is that the offense isn't clicking. Because if that's not clicking, how are you going to get to that 6-7 win mark? But if mm-hmm. it is, I could see Arizona going to that 8-9 area.
Mm-hmm. After Utah, what's the schedule look like?
Yeah, you know, then they're home against Texas Tech. I think that's going to be really nice for Arizona. You come back home, hopefully for Arizona, you're 3-1, but more realistically, probably 2-2, and that's going to be a critical game. If you're able to win that Texas Tech game, get to 3-2 or 4-1, you know, given what happens this Saturday, I think you're sitting in the right spot. Like we said at the beginning of the year, Utah and Kansas State, that was going to be a tough back-to-back slate of the schedule. Hopefully you would want to go 1-1 in that, but right now you're staring, you know, 0-1 and you need a win. But it was an unrealistic thing that they could go 0-2 during that tough stretch.
How do people find out more about your work at GoAZCats.com? People may want to subscribe.
Yeah, go ahead and subscribe to GoAZCats.com. There's a sign-up button on our website, and it'll bring you all the information on our message boards and premium articles as well. And you can check us out on Twitter at GoAZCats.com. Not .com. You can't do the .com as a Twitter handle, but GoAZCats.com as well. And you can follow me at T @thutch1995 on Twitter as well.
All right. Thanks, Troy. Always a pleasure, sir.
Thank you.
All right. On behalf of Troy Hutchison and Tom, engineering and producing the program, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well.